chosen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers, sisters in Christ, come and have breakfast. For this third time that Jesus showed himself alive to the disciples, there was no breathing on them with the Holy Spirit and the charge that they go out and forgive sins. There was no challenge to Thomas to go ahead and put his finger in the mark of the nails, or so that he would no longer be not believing, but instead would have faith. There was just this simple invitation: come and eat. Come and eat, because everything is already, because Jesus lives. Now, many of you will remember that Jesus gathered with the disciples on and off for these 40 days after his resurrection. And the odd thing was, he didn't stay with them continuously. That is, he would show up, he'd spend time with them, he'd teach them, he'd admonish, he'd reassure, and then he was gone, nowhere to be found. They knew he wasn't an apparition, they were able to handle him, they could eat with him, but it wasn't like all those years of his public ministry. During those years, they pretty much knew where he was all the time. They could go, they could find him if they needed something, if they had a question. But now, during these 40 days, he was preparing them for a time when he would not be visibly present to them at all. For he knew that he was ascending to his Father and their Father. He was going to go take his place at the Father's right hand to fill all things with his fullness in a way that was past our ability to see or even fully grasp. And so the challenge to them, as it was and it is to us, is what do you do? How do you live knowing that Jesus is alive, that he's glorious and present and active, and yet not able to be seen? Peter and the rest were still learning at this point. As they went up to Galilee, they knew that Jesus promised that he would meet them there, and so they went up and they waited. And with nothing better to do that they could think of, they returned to their old occupation. They went back to being fishers of fish. Now, we know at this point Jesus has already told them that he wants them fishing for men and women, using the net of the gospel to go ahead and bring them into the kingdom. We know that he has breathed the Spirit onto them and authorized them to forgive sins. You might also remember last week Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you, meaning that they were commissioned to go and establish God's kingdom in this fallen world by going to fallen men and women as emissaries of God's love, seeking to gather them to Christ. But somehow none of that was moving them yet. They couldn't figure out how to do that without actually having Jesus present where they could see him and hear him and walk with him. And so they went back to what they thought they knew. And you'll notice they caught nothing. They caught nothing because that's not what they were called to. Now, I'm belaboring this because you and I think we get caught up in the same thing at times. That is, you know, here we are in church, and when we gather here and hear God's word and sing the hymns and receive forgiveness and share in prayer and in Holy Communion, when we're here with all these tangible Jesus things happening around us, well, it all makes a kind of lovely sense, right? And right, we feel like we're ready to go and forgive, and we're ready to go and share the grace and the love and the peace of Jesus, even as we are loved and receive grace. And then we go out those doors, we go home, and the world suddenly starts nipping at us with all of its concerns. And we're suddenly faced with the weight of our own limitations. It turns out people can be a real challenge to love at times. And maybe we lose our confidence about God's love for us. And so what do? Well, we go back to our old habits. We deal with people the way we think will get us the results that we want. We do what we think will make us happy, or what will make us successful, or what will give us popularity. We do our duty so that we can at least tell ourselves or others that we've got that much going on for us. We've done what we were supposed to, darn it. Whether that be as our neighbor or as an employee, as a son or a daughter, as a mother or father, as husbands or wives. And yet, when we go at our callings without a sense of Jesus' call and presence and guidance, what often happens? I don't know about you, but for me, there are times when I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels and accomplishing squat nothing. I think I know what the disciples felt like in the boat as the sun came up that morning and they had nothing to show for all that night's work. And don't get me wrong here, the problem is not with their fishing per se. It's not that they were doing something worldly and secular as opposed to going out and doing something religious. No, the problem was is they were going about their lives as if Jesus wasn't there. They were waiting for him to show up so they could do something. And for us, we have these glorious callings that are set before us where we are given the opportunity to serve others even as we are served by Christ, who is living and real. But because we feel like we're on our own, we sometimes go about our work as if Jesus wasn't there. And we try to get things done with our strength, our ingenuity, our charm, and we discover that doesn't get us very far. If the resurrection of Jesus means anything, it means that he is alive and present, always. Whether we see him, whether we feel him, whether we find ourselves surrounded by his stuff or not, you, my friends, have his spirit dwelling in you. You have been born again after his image. You are part of the body of Christ. And Jesus has said to you, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And that changes everything. Now, the disciples had caught nothing all that night, but once that stranger on the shore told them to throw the net on the right side of the boat, the net was full. And the lesson here is not that if you go about your callings aware that Jesus is with you, guarding and guiding you, then everything will work out okay. No, there are still going to be long nights, and there will still be times when your net comes back empty. But look at what happened next. When they got to shore, they found that there was already a fire there, that fish were already cooking, that bread was already made. Because Jesus lives, he is ahead of us in preparing for us what we need so that we can go on the way that he has called us to. Now, the echoes of Jesus' previous work are rich here. John recognized Jesus in that miraculous catch of fish because he remembered there had been another miraculous catch on the Sea of Galilee some 3 years earlier. And then when Jesus gave them the bread and the fish to eat, certainly all of them remembered how just a year earlier, Jesus had fed 5,000 and then fed another 4,000 with bread and fish miraculously. Jesus gave those crowds that miraculous food so that they would be nourished to be able to return to their homes and carry on with their callings in light of the kingdom's work. And similarly, Jesus fed the disciples that morning so they could carry on the work that he had called them to, knowing or at least beginning to catch on that he was still with them, still providing for them, so that they were not on their own to try and figure it out as best they could, irrespective of whether or not they could see him. And you, my friends, you are not on your own to try and figure it out as best you can. The living Lord is with you, and he provides for you so that you are nourished and strengthened for the work. Now, interestingly, you'll notice that Jesus also provided for the disciples out of the work that they did. He provided that catch for them. And then notice, when they came to shore, he said, hey, bring some of those fish that you've just caught. While we know that Christ will do what he does to care for our family, for our neighbors, for our church, he will see to it that his word, that his light goes forth with or without us, yet that doesn't mean that you and I do nothing. Rather, engaged in the calling and the life that he's given us, we do what we are given, we follow him, and as he provides the catch to us, we use what we are given to serve and to love those around us. So the word to you this morning, my friends, is come and eat and receive the nourishment, the sustenance that Jesus gives you, and then refreshed, go and share his love and mercy because Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.